Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, we're in the New Testament, in the book of John. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
This morning we are in John's Gospel, still in chapter 4. Jesus having just had an encounter with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. Now you remember the Samaritans were those who were somewhat despised by the Jewish people. They were half-breeds as far as the Jews were concerned, half Assyrian, half Jew, and they just were kind of the outcasts, basically. And kind of interesting when you think about the outcasts and how many of us may have felt at one time like we didn't fit, like we were an outcast. And it's so great to know that the Lord comes and meets that need of each one of us. Maybe we don't feel like we really fit in our school situation. Maybe we don't feel like we really fit in our work environment. Maybe we don't feel like we really fit even in our own home and our family sometimes. Maybe we just don't feel like we fit. But one thing that's for sure, you fit in the family of God, because we're all a bunch of misfits that got fitted where we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus Christ. He changes our lives. He makes us new. And that's really what happened with the woman at the well. What a great thing to know. It's so great to know that God's not looking for just the beautiful people and just these people that fit just so in a situation. God's looking for the anybodies and everybodies. As a matter of fact, we kind of finished up with this thought that the Father is seeking those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know the Father is seeking you out? Even as a believer, the Father's seeking for you to worship Him in spirit and in truth, to honor Him from your heart. Wherever you are throughout the course of your week and your workaday world, that God's looking for that from your life and from my life. This woman is Jesus being such a wonderful example to us of an evangelist. Jesus speaking to this woman and addressing her need, knowing right where she's at, but has this great interaction with her. He first initiates contact with her. He answers certain questions. There's a revelation of who she really is, and she knows who she really is. She knows her need. God knows who you are. God knows who I am. God knows our need. And there's this revelation about who she is and this need. I think it's kind of interesting if you go through, we find one more thing that gets revealed as we go through this, and we'll touch on it. But first, it kind of starts off in verse 9 of chapter 4, calling Jesus, just saying, hey, you being a Jew. And so he's just another Jewish male, which, quite frankly, she doesn't have a whole lot of interaction with, really. Because Jesus went way out of his way to even go there, or went right through. They used to go way out of their way to avoid Samaria, but Jesus goes right through there because he's got a divine appointment. Isn't it great to think that the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, and maybe it'll be today for those of you who don't know him personally, but the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ was a divine appointment. And every other situation when people came along your path, and they got encountered with you and shared the Lord with you, those were all divine appointments. And you'll, believe me, you'll recall a lot of those. You'll remember those times. For guys, that you're standing at the urinal and the two guys next to you are talking about the Lord. Sounds silly, but I'm telling you, I had those kind of things happen to me when the Lord was after me. Crazy, wild stuff. Just bumping into people, running into people that just want in odd and obscure places. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows and wants to make himself real to us. So it's just this, you being a Jew. That's her identification. And it gets a little more personal in 11, verse 11, calling him just sir. So now he's not just this Jew, but he's at least a sir. So we're getting a little further along. And then she realizes in verse 19, hey, I perceive that you are a prophet. So he's kind of going up in his ranking with her, isn't he? Starts off just a Jew, sir, now a maybe a prophet, it seems like. We watched this interchange in our last study. She got a little bit sidetracked, wondering about where it is we're really supposed to worship, and kind of got off on this religious tangent a little bit. Did you notice that Jesus politely listened to her, but then brought it all right back around? He didn't go off and get sidetracked. How many of us kind of sometimes find ourselves, we get caught up in the interchange, don't we? I find myself sometimes getting caught up in the interchange. And Jesus doesn't waste his time with that. He brings it right back to what's really important. And that's the relationship with him. You know, and a good counsel, good wisdom from our Lord and Savior, who is a wonderful example of the true evangelist as he reaches out to this person in need, meets her where she's at, and then goes on and reveals himself in such a wonderful way. Well, let's pick it up in verse 27, because that's really where the study starts. He's revealed himself to her now. Because in verse 25, it says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. So she's kind of equating, hey, you're kind of a lot like, this is starting to look very similar here. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So he makes himself known to her, he reveals himself to her. And isn't that great? Isn't that just what Jesus does with us? He reveals himself to us. And at this point, verse 27, his disciples came, and remember, they had kind of gone off to get something to eat because Jesus was wearied and hungry. He was tired. He was wearied. They had gone off to get something to eat and were bringing it back. It might have been just a Samaritan pizza or something. I'm not sure what he went and got and brought back to him, but something there from the village. And they marveled that he talked with a woman. Now, if you've traveled with Jesus a little while, one of the things that you will find that's interesting about traveling with Jesus is you can kind of start to expect the unexpected. So they kind of come upon the situation. He's there engaged in this conversation with this woman. They kind of marveled at it, yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? They just kind of, you know, maybe they have learned something in their journeys with Jesus so far that they expect the unexpected. Jesus kind of does what Jesus does the way he wants to do it, and it's not always status quo, and that he's interacting with us, and they're kind of marveling at this. They're not sure what exactly to make. They don't say anything. And then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and started talking to the guys. Now, we know this gal's not got the greatest reputation. We're clear on that from going through the scripture so far regarding her life. And it is interesting what she ends up saying to them, because no doubt she's probably known several of these gals somewhat, these guys somewhat intimately, this particular gal. That's likely possible. That's who this person is. That's her character without Jesus. So she goes and is talking to the men, and she says, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Say, man, you know, maybe, perchance, you better come and see this guy. Can you imagine these guys? Told you everything you ever did? Now you're getting the picture. Just possibly what might be happening in all of this interchange. You see, the Bible doesn't have just these statuesque people. Sometimes we kind of create this vision in our mind that these people, these characters, these individuals in the Bible aren't like you and me. Oh no, they are very much just like you and me. They're regular folks just like everybody else. Jesus is just working and mingling in the mix with everyday society, which he's still doing and still wanting to do. I think it is interesting, and we have to note this in verse 28 before we go much further. that the woman left her water pot. You remember, that's what she was doing there. She was there drawing water. And Jesus asked for a drink from her. Engaged her. Wanting her to invest with him a little bit. Wanting to be a part of his life a little bit. Helping him out a little bit. This interchange that starts to take place. But she's there. She's gathering, getting water. She goes in the heat of the day because she doesn't want to interact with any of the other people. Her life and her lifestyle has kind of isolated her from others. And so she's kind of gone away. She interacts with Jesus. And after this interchange, the very purpose that she went there for, because you remember Jesus said, hey, you'll never, if you come to me and have come to get living water, you'll never thirst again. Not because she had another need. It wasn't just the physical. Jesus was dealing with a spiritual aspect also. But I love the fact that she just left what she came with. You know, when we go to the cross, I believe this is initial. I believe this is our initial interaction with Jesus is this way. I also believe, brothers and sisters, this is something we might tuck away for us too. As we've walked with the Lord, many of us, for a while. As we get into an encounter with Jesus, and we spend time with Jesus, and we get into this interaction, leave things with him. The biggest struggle I find is to pick that stuff back up. I get into the presence of the Lord, and I'm praying, and I'm giving these things to the Lord, and my heart's sincere. I'm giving them to the Lord. But then, right when I get ready to go, I grab my water pot, and I walk away. I love the fact that she just left the water pot behind. The thing that she was carrying with her that did represent something, a need that she had, that Jesus knew about, she left it with the Lord. She left it right there. Just kind of abandoned it. It's left behind. No longer the need to carry that around, to lug that extra stuff. What a freedom, what a liberation she must have experienced. Just like many of us have experienced that same truth. She doesn't need it anymore. She just leaves it behind. You know, what was once very important is no longer important anymore. Her priorities completely changed. That which was so significant and important, she's just left it. She's a new person, changed life. And then it's come and see. A man who told me all things I ever did. And now, in verse 29, we see her, as she's gone through this, you're a Jew, sir, maybe you're a prophet, and now she says in verse 29, could this be the Christ? She's seeing him for who he is, the Christ, the Messiah, the one who can forgive, the one who can really actually fix our lives. And then they went out of the city and came to him. These people started coming out, these guys that she was interacting with, meeting, talking to. These people that she had these interchanges with were starting to come out to see Jesus. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. So we know Jesus. We started out this, remember, in our last study, that he was wearied, that he was tired and hungry from traveling and so on. And you and I know what that's like. We get wearied, and I think it's so great that Jesus, being fully God, fully man, identifies with you and with me. That there's an identification with our, we get wearied. I get wearied. We get tired. We get worn down. And Jesus identifies so wonderfully with us. And really shows us something that I think we might tuck away, because what is he in desperate need of right there? Kind of a, I guess we could call it a refreshment. He needs to be refreshed. He needs to kind of be recharged, doesn't he? How many of you, by the time lunchtime hits around, if you're trying to eat right, by the time lunchtime hits around, you're pretty hungry, and you know you need something nutritious, not just a candy bar. You know, it's not, you need something that's going to, and you're kind of getting, your batteries are starting to wear down a little bit. You're needing some refreshment, some new sustenance going into your system to kind of recharge things. We know what that's like. That happens to me several times throughout the course of a day. I tried to keep it at 3 times, but it feels like it could happen a whole lot more often. But the idea here is that he's looking to be refreshed. But what's interesting is, what is it that really recharges him? Will you notice this with me, brothers and sisters? Because I think this could really revolutionize how you look at your day in, day out living and your interaction with others. I think this is really going to be something that's helpful to every one of us. The disciples are urging him just to take on physical food for sustenance. But Jesus' response to them says, I have food to eat of which you do not know. He says, you know, there's something going on here that while you were out gathering food, you kind of missed a few things. And there's something happening here that's very significant, something that gives a resurgence of energy, that's recharging, energizing, something that really refreshes an individual. And he says, therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? They're wondering, hey, maybe somebody brought him something. He's saying he's got food that no one, and they're just missing the spiritual. That happens to me all the time. You just miss the spiritual point that Jesus is trying to make. And here Jesus is trying to tell him something. So Jesus is so loving, so patient, isn't he? With us and with these guys. As he just looks at him, he says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you realize that as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you become energized as you are engaged in service to the Lord Jesus Christ? As you are doing those things that God has purposed for you to do, even when you're tired, even when you're weary, that you can find a resurgence of energy, that you can be refreshed deep down within your soul, because there is food out there in the realm of the spirit that the natural man know it not. It's just not familiar to the natural fleshy side of us. That we just want to get, you know, a hamburger or something. We just want to grab something to eat. We just want to fix it physically. And Jesus is saying, no, whoa, wait a second. There's something that goes on in these interchanges that is very energizing to the spiritual man within us. As we get to express our love for someone else, and more importantly, God's love to that person. When you and I get that opportunity, as we do often, to represent God to others, that we have this opportunity to be as Jesus is and not be so, I think sometimes we are so wearied and we don't engage in ministering. And when we're not engaging in ministering, we're not getting renewed, because there's some wonderful spiritual thing that happens when we get engaged in what God's doing. My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. You know, when we realize as Christians that God has made himself known to you, to me, for a purpose and a reason. God has not only a generic will for the believer, just a general will for believers, but he has a perfect will for each one of our lives. He's got a purpose and a plan. And as we engage in what God's desire is, his plan, his will for your life, everything else pales grossly in comparison to doing what God has purposed for your life. So if you want really that energy, you know, when you spiritually, you want to be energized, you want to be, you know, really feeling right about what's going on, I encourage you to think through your clock. And what time is really spent, not just devotionally, that's wonderful, but ministry. What are you doing in engaging with others? And you'll find God will start to meet you at those places. And you'll find a new food, a manna from heaven, as it were. Something that is new and energizing. It's really the protein bar that you need, spiritually speaking. It's just that interchange that happens when we're giving out. You know, the people that were so blessed were the ones in the Old Testament that were encamped. There were four tribes encamped directly around the tabernacle in the wilderness. And those four tribes were the ones that served immediately in the care and ministry of the whole of the nation of Israel. And each one of the things that was so awesome is they were closest in. They were serving. They were working hard. They were involved in things. They were a little wearied, but oh my. They were the closest, weren't they, to the Shekinah glory, the presence of the Kabod, the presence of the Lord. Jesus gave us a great truth. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are important in this life. I understand that. But look at the significance that Jesus put on this. I know a lot of things can weary us. I know a lot of things can run us down a little bit. But look at what Jesus says regarding that. This whole chapter, this interchange that took place up to this point, Jesus is saying, hey, I've been doing exactly what I was sent here to do. And I am engaged in this, and it's creating a surge of energy in my life. Jesus is not focused on anything other than the will of the Father who sent him. And we see the power that's there, the refreshment that's there. Then, verse 35, Jesus gives them another little kind of a nugget of interest there as we see what's happening during this time as it starts, the whole picture starts to fit together. He says to them, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. All those different guys, those people coming out of the city out to see Jesus. And as they're coming out to see Jesus, all these people, as they're coming out, Jesus is saying, look, the field's white for harvest. Now, who are these people that the field is white for harvest? Who are they? They're the Samaritans. They're the outcasts. They're the ones that nobody really wants to have anything to do with. What I wonder, what is worth contemplating, what is worth thinking about is I know everyone is a Samaritan in one way or another. None of us fit anywhere exactly perfectly, okay? So I know that. But we need to remember that our society, our world that surrounds us is just like that. The people on your campus at your school, the people in your workplace, the people in your neighborhood, the people at the park where you go to walk your dog, the people you just come across wherever you are and whatever you're doing, your family, your friends. And the Lord sees them as part of the harvest that is white and ready. Because the tendency is to put it off, to delay. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for tuning in today and listening to the message. I know that God is doing a work in your life. I know that as you hear his word, he's doing something in your heart, and he wants to begin that good work in your life as he's done in many of our lives, and he wants to forgive you of your sin. Maybe some of you are just carrying that weight of sin and you just want to be forgiven. Well, God wants to forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God loves you. He wants to forgive you of all your sin. All you have to do is pray this simple prayer of faith and begin this new journey with Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you and God will forgive you. Just pray this simple prayer with me. Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of my sin. You know exactly where I've been and what's been going on in my life, and I want to begin a new life in you. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and be my personal Lord and Savior, and that I would begin this new journey with you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might live a life that would please you and bring you glory. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you for saving me. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. If you'd like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. And you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/CalvaryChapelKC. Also, Living Fountains podcasts are available in the iTunes Store, and you can download them at no cost. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, we meet in Overland Park on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. The service times and directions can be found on calvarychapelkc.com, or you can simply contact the church office at 913-681-1635. It's been great spending time with you in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.